Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Patrick Doherty. How are you, Patrick?
Hi, guys. I'm super excited to be here. Long-time listener.
First time guest.
Yeah. I'm excited to chat. Happy to be here.
So I'm super excited to share all the amazing things you do for the community. But before we get into all that, can you introduce yourself to our listeners who may not know who you are and what you got going on?
Okay. My name is Patrick and I love film. I'm a film photographer and my main goal is to make film photography easily accessible for people.
Mm. I love that.
That's the general, that covers most of it.
So what's like your day-to-day? Because it seems like you do a lot to really bring it to people who may, like you said, make it accessible, make it easy for people to shoot film. Every time I see you, you're coming back from a lab, you've got a bunch of cameras you've just picked up. So break it down for us.
Okay. So I do a bunch of things. I try to cover all aspects of the realm of photography because it's hard to sell. You can't sell like a camera and not film, you know, that'd be like selling cereal with no milk. So I've figured, I'm like, okay, well, the main thing I do is I develop film for people and it's all done through a professional lab. And I offer, as far as I know, the cheapest price for the highest quality development around. And so I provide development and I also sell cameras. I sell film. I take photos, but with the whole Corona thing, I haven't really been focused on my photography. Mm. Number one, it's been hard to, it's hard to find inspiration. Number two, I don't know when it comes to like street photography, portrait photography, like this last year, I really wanted to take a big step into my portrait work, but that kind of took a big L.
Yeah, you know, we all did, right?
Same, yeah. I had so many plans.
Yeah, everything changed. I mean, I love taking photos. I love taking photos so much, but so I've still been doing it, but just not as much. It's really, the whole last year really shut it all down. Before Corona, we were doing camera meetups like every other week, and that was beautiful. We really had we have a really large local community. I live in Oceanside, which is North County, San Diego, and there's no camera store in Oceanside, so I'm kind of like a mobile camera store in Oceanside.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So once a week, I'll do a pop-up in a parking lot, and people come and drop off film, buy film, and pick up their negatives from the past drop-off. And I also have, there's an antique mall in Oceanside, and I have film for sale and cameras for sale inside of there. So every day is so packed with cameras. Like, I wake up, I get out of bed, I step on a lens. there's cameras literally, like, everywhere. Like, there's so many cameras everywhere. But it's really, really cool. I think it'd be easier to explain how I got started.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. That's all I've been thinking about right now.
Start from the beginning.
So it was 1994. It was a rainy morning. My mom was there. I wasn't. No, so I was about 16, 17, and Southern California skating. Started filming my friends skating, but I could not put a video together for the life of me. So I still wanted to preserve memories. So I moved into photography. I always had like a love for cameras and stuff. So, just kind of, I figured I wanted to still capture everything, but not videos. And then, I figured photography would work. And then my high school girlfriend at the time had a Canon Rebel 2000. So I was like, I want one of those. That looks cool. So late 2012, I got my first Rebel. I think you know what the next 30 seconds is going to say. Got my first roll, developed it, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the best feeling in the world is getting your first roll of film back and seeing the photos and knowing that you made those.
Yeah.
And wow. Photography has really opened up a whole world for me because I did that. And then, so that was late 2012. And then I bought a huge batch of expired film, not knowing, just because I couldn't afford regular film, you know, this is back when expired film was cheaper.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Film, yep. But for now it's more expensive, which is still wild to me. So I bought a big pack of expired film and I took it to Chicago during the winter, shot off like 10, 20 rolls, fell in love with it. And then 2013 came around and I picked up two cameras. I picked up a Instax Wide 210, which is the old Instax Wide. And so most of the year I was shooting Instax Wide, which is really cool because I was still shooting film, but I didn't have any preconceptions. I didn't have any notion of like what a good photo was. So I was very creative with it. Now I feel like I kind of overthink like settings and stuff. And I feel like there's so much of that when I wish I could just go back to not knowing anything. But also the second camera I bought in 2013 was a Polaroid Minutemaker.
What is that?
FP100C. I didn't know. It was $12.95 for a pack.
Oh god.
I was like, cool. And then I was so bitter and upset. They raised the pack of FP100C to $15. I was like, this is baloney.
Right, right, right.
little did I know.
Yeah.
And then, so 2013, I was shooting mostly instant film, and then I lived in Oceanside next to a swap meet, so I'd go over to the swap meet, like, every weekend, and I'd just kind of, like, pick up whatever, and I kept finding film cameras, like, AE1s and point-and-shoots and all these other things for, like, I don't know, like, $10-$20 each, and I was like, oh, this is cool, and then so I'd pick up a camera, shoot a roll of film in it, and then next week, I'd pick up another camera, shoot another roll of film in it, and I was like, oh, they all look different, so that was super exciting, so I just kept going, and then I ran out of shelf space. So I kept going every weekend buying new cameras. And then I had so many cameras, I had to sell some. It turned out that I made a profit. And I was like, oh, wow, that was weird. I didn't know people wanted these old cameras. I thought, you know, there's me and like a few other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd give them to my friends. I'd sell a couple on Craigslist, but it wasn't really anything big. And then I think it was around 2014. So 2014... still continuing, just clicking, shooting away. And I took my first black and white darkroom class at the local community college. And again, you know, you see the picture come up and the chemicals. And I would spend all day in the darkroom there. And that made me really love film. You know, I fell in love with all the photography stuff that I learned from school, learning about like Sally Mann and Winogrand and all the other, you know, photographers. And it just opens up my eyes. Oh, 2013 also, Vivian Meyer, that movie came out.
Oh, yes.
And so I still super, I was just oblivious to everything. I was like, oh, that's cool. I want one of those. So my first medium format camera, 2014, 15, late 14, early 15, Yashica Mount 124G.
Mm.
Yeah, really fun camera.
Such a good camera.
Yeah. And then so around that time, 2013, 2014, sorry, I'm trying to recount while I talk about it. so 2015, I started selling cameras to people I know because I would, you know, it's just, I always had a camera and people would ask. And then so, hey, my friend told me that you got them a camera. Can you help me get a camera? Oh, hey, can you teach me how to use it? So I'm like teaching people how to shoot film and I'm selling cameras. Like I'm, and at the time, no one wanted cameras. So all day I'm picking up AE1s, X700s, K1000s, no more than $30.
That's crazy. Wow.
You know? Jeez.
And the good old days.
Yeah, I know.
The good old days. People were just giving me cameras. I got this box of stuff and it was like, a bunch of cameras. I'm looking through and I find this one point and shoot. I'm like, Zeiss. I've heard that before. I was like, what's that? You know? So I look up, I was like, Yashica T4, that sounds cool. So at the bottom of the box, I realized that I had a T4. And so again, not knowing, I was just shooting it everywhere and I loved it. I loved it. And then sold it for rent money back in 15, 16, something like that. And then I picked up another one recently and I'm in love with it all over again, unfortunately.
It's the best.
I'm still a really huge fan of cheap point and shoots because I think they're highly and severely underrated.
They are, yeah.
One thing I really do want people to know is that you do not need a good camera. You know, I've taken some of my worst pictures with my Leica.
Right.
And your best with a cheap point and shoot, right?
No, my Holga.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Holga kills it, you know? Like, and it's not about the camera, it's about the photographer, and it's about what you do with it, and it's going back, I mean, it all comes full circle, because back in the day, I wasn't abiding to any, like, photography rules or anything, I was just having fun, mm-hmm. And what happened was, I talked to one of my friends who was a photographer, Basil. He was like, yeah, doing photography for work is cool, but it kind of takes away from the love of photography, because you're doing it for work, mm-hmm. And I got so scared. I said I never want to not love photography.
Right.
So I tried to figure out how I could work in the field while still not showing my photos.
Yeah.
So now I'm 8 years into it and I haven't shown any photos besides a few here and there on Instagram.
Yeah, I remember I asked you, I was like, where's your work? Where do you put your work? Because I want to see what you're making with all these cameras and stuff.
Yeah, so recently I decided on something I want to do, and it's kind of like a big step for me because I think I want to dive into videos and kind of going over, you know, photos I've taken before, because I don't know, it'd be really, I have so much information to share, and what I want is for photography to be easily accessible to people.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that turns people off a lot is if you shoot a camera and you get a bad rollback, then you're kind of like, you know, bummed. So I want to share all of my archives, and I want to share all the stuff that I did wrong. That way other people don't have to do that. But also, I'd like to share some of the photos I've taken. I think I've taken a good photo or two.
You have, yes.
but also, you guys released this podcast 2 or 3 years ago. Tim, you said it. You post on Instagram and it's dead.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still feel that way to this day. Yeah.
Me too. And it's just like, it's not about the likes. It doesn't matter about validation, blah, 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 blah. But I have this photo and I love this photo and I put it on Instagram and it gets whatever, 100, 200 likes, you know? And you're like, that's it. That's the life of the photo.
Poof.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's where it sits and that's where it stays. And like, that breaks my heart because I'm like, I worked so hard for that photo. I'm metered for that.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is, and this is with everything I do, I don't want to do anything like half-assed. Like I want to do everything really, really good. So as you know, with Corona, last year I was actually planning on having my first show. So I'm do a few prints, have a big show, but now there's no gatherings.
Yeah.
You can do a virtual show or something, but I don't want to do that to my photos. I want to print them big and have them be seen. And
Yeah.
I want to feel them. But so 2014-15, I'm selling cameras, more and more. 16, I'm going out to everywhere I can find. I'm going to every single thrift store within a four hour radius, like everywhere.
I love when I asked you, I was like, where do you go? Like, can you tell me where you go? And you're like, no, I can't tell you where I go. And I was like, all right,
smart.
fair.
Smart.
So I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I can tell you where I don't go. It's eBay.
Yeah, eBay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just recently I spent probably like $500 on like $80 cameras. So I probably bought like five or six cameras. Five out of the six were broken or described, you know?
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, it works perfectly. The shutter fires, the batteries are good. And then you check it and it's like the film doesn't wind back, you know, back into the roll. It's like, that's one thing they didn't mention. And that's the one thing that's wrong with it. So,
or they know it's broken. They just list as is. Like, I don't know. It's as is.
I never buy as is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like destined to be broken.
Exactly. So if it says as is or maybe tested or, but that's the thing. Cause I'm going on eBay and I'm trying to buy like 100% working cameras. Like I'm paying like almost top dollar for them. And then they come and it's like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just on eBay probably an hour or two before we hopped on here tonight. And just the prices, like the overall prices have just been insane.
Yeah.
You know, even looking at, you know, of course, Chris Visser got the M10. So now I'm looking at digital Leicas again on eBay.
He's killing it with that M10.
And I'm just like, how dare they charge $2,000 or $4,000 for an M8? You know what I mean? Like that camera is older than dirt and they're still trying to get, I just don't understand. And I was also looking at those Fuji 645s, the little medium format point and shoot.
Oh yeah. Those are like $800-$900.
Yeah. They're insane.
And that's unnecessary too. And like, okay, you want to talk about unnecessary? Let's talk about the contacts line.
Yeah.
Listen.
Okay.
Chris. Listen.
I get it. No, I do get it. I really do. But people are charging. It's, you know, Supreme, like the clothing line of Supreme? It's,
yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It's the like, Supreme of
it's
cameras.
It's like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not happy that they're that much because I had an opportunity to buy one when it was like there. It was like $650. And I was
and
like,
that was outrageous. Yeah, I was like, that was like, whoa.
I can't pay that. And like, I would have loved to pay that, like, because they're now $1,000, whatever.
Well, that's with everything now. I was looking up the Pentax 105 2.5 last night, and those are up to like $500-$600 just for the lens now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because I remember, so my Pentax 6.7K, I have the Pentax 6.7 with the 105 and the 55-35, and that was actually passed down to me from someone who passed away, and that was a really crazy story, and this is kind of like a pattern with me in the camera world. So people, I've been doing it for so long that people are like, oh hey, you're the camera guy, right?
You're
like,
the camera guy.
Yep.
Yeah. You're the camera guy, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Then they go, hey look, you want to come over and check out some cameras I have? Maybe you can buy some, or I can just give them to you. And I'll drive like an hour away and there's like a box full of brownies. I'm like, thanks.
You know?
they're like, oh, check it out, it has 2 megapixels, that's so old. Yeah. You'll love that. I'm like, no, this isn't old enough, but thank you.
Yeah.
And I'll still,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But one time, it's a whole chain of phone call to this guy knows this guy, and I got an address, that's all I know. I got an address and a phone number. I call the phone number, he's like, all right, meet me at the address and Saturday at 2. And I'm in downtown Laguna Beach. And I'm like, wow, this isn't right. So I call the number, and this dude pops out from behind a tree. And he's like, come here. I'm like, all right. So I follow him, and we go upstairs, and there's this whole entire Cibachrome printing lab. I know. Yeah, it was a Cibachrome. Like,
wow.
So, yeah, so it was owned by Mark Chamberlain.
Oh, I was hoping you would tell the story.
Yeah. So Mark Chamberlain was a photographer. He came to California in the 70s, and he did a lot of work pro environment. So there's this like big foresty area around Laguna, and they were going to develop houses on it. But him and a few other photographers did a large project called The Tell, and that saved the green belt around Laguna from future development. So he was very, he was cool. Yeah, I was talking to him. He was just this old dude from, you know, he was just super, super mellow, developed. He had this whole, it was a black and white dark room and color dark room and Cibachrome. And like,
yeah,
it was crazy. So I went to his lab and I looked at everything for like 5 minutes, and he was like, all right, come on, let's go. So I followed him in my car and we drove half an hour away to a hospital, and I met Mark Chamberlain pretty much like on his deathbed. And over the next 2 months, I went back and forth and visited him a few times. He told me about his, it still makes me tremor a little bit speaking about it, just because it was such a heavy, it was such a cool experience. I got to talk to this photographer. He was a film photographer, and he did so many crazy, really cool things and had a cool life. He left his entire film fridge to me, one time, so this is like the second or third time I went, he was like, yeah, go back to my studio, everything in the film fridge is yours. So,
damn.
Yeah, I had, so that's where all the 8x10 film I have comes from. I have a fridge full of 8x10, 4x5, and he gave me a bunch of 35 too. I blew through the 35, not knowing. Again, I was just like so excited. I had all this crazy like Ektachrome. Yeah, I still have a few. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I have a bulk roll of like Ektachrome 64T from the 70s that's been freezer kept.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. So I think I'm going to split that up and give away some rolls soon. Oh, okay. So he passed away. I got the Pentax.
You got his Pentax?
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wild.
Yeah, with the 105. And so that's happened. People, yeah. So I got my Graflex from... Oh, I feel like I should just go through the cameras real quick. I got my Graflex from my best friend, Kayla. Her grandma used to be a photo teacher, and so she gave me the Graflex. This lady, same thing. It was the, hey, I have all these old cameras. Like, you should come check them out. And she was like, maybe you can help me sell them? I was like, yeah, for sure. So she pulls out beautiful Nikon F. It was all black. Nikon F2, beautiful. Ooh. Couple other Nikons. And then she pulled out this one. She's like, all right, you saw all these other... You saw all of these and you can keep this one. And it was this is an M3.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah. So it was an M3 Simicron 50 F2 rigid V2. Also came with a Nikon 35 2.4, I think, which is a LTM thread, like a thread mount, and with an M-mount adapter and a Hector portrait lens. But when I got the camera wasn't working, blah, 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 blah. So I took it to this repair shop, and I have so many things to talk about. I have not found a good repair shop. I took my M3, I was going to sell it, and then the guy who runs the repair shop saw me about to sell it. He was like, no, it's beautiful. You should let me repair it for you. He's like, just give me that telephoto lens and I'll repair it for you. Don't worry. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, trade $100 lens and get my M3 shutter replaced. So I had him clean out the 50 millimeter lens while he did that. So he decided to, instead of the original telephoto lens trade for the fix, he told me he needed the telephoto lens, the wide angle lens, and my meter. So I gave him all my stuff, like, not really knowing. He put the middle element in my lens backwards. So my first test roll was completely blurry. When I got my camera back, I realized that there's a huge thumbprint in the viewfinder. What? I'm like, oh, dude, like, that's such a bummer. And then he, like, chipped. I think that he swapped out my film door for his film door because mine was, like, perfect. And the one that I got back isn't perfect. And then also he just, I mean, this is expected, but my leather on my camera got chipped because the leather's brittle. Mm-hmm. I just would have rather taken it somewhere else. So I took the camera back to him. I was like, hey, elements backwards, thumbprint my viewfinder. Can you just fix it, please? I gave you like, you know, all my stuff that goes with the camera. And I just want the one lens and I want it to work. He fixes the lens, gives me the camera back with the thumbprint still in the viewfinder and pretty much tells me to screw off. I was selling something else. And then he was like, he took it, and then he was like, it was a lens. It was a really nice lens, and this is a repair place in LA. So I don't want to name any names, but it's a camera repair place in LA. He took the lens to repair it. He took 1 month, then 2 months, and then he saw me at the camera show back before Corona, when we could still do the camera shows. And he overheard me talking to someone else saying I needed a new RB lens. So he told me he'd give me RB 50 and a 90 in trade for the lens that he was repairing for me. He gave me the 90 and then stopped answering my phone calls after that.
Oh my God. Yeah. This guy, that's not how you run a business.
No. And then he hit me up like probably a month later because he was trying to open up like a little developing lab, and then he wanted me to come work for him because I know how to work all the developing machines since I do at the lab that I developed through. I was like, no, that's okay, man. No, yeah. But it's all good. I mean, like, I don't know. That was out of everything in the last 8 years, I've had nothing but great experiences with every single person from the film community. Oh, him and there's some dude from Portland that just stole like a few $100 from me for cameras too. But
they were just like shaking
water
under
the bridge. I know. Yeah, it sucks, but like, I don't know.
It's bigger picture. You're doing a lot of good.
Yeah, bigger picture. Yeah. So I'm here. to help people shoot film. And I'm here to go through all the stuff that I don't want other people to go through, whether that be finding out about a bad repair place and making sure people don't go there, or making sure I'm buying the broken camera that was listed working on eBay. That way you don't have to.
Yeah. So take us through like a day, because I see you in the middle of like your long trek.
Okay. Let's start with a Thursday.
Yeah.
So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm camera hunting.
Yeah.
Every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm hunting for cameras. I have a lot of sources online. I have people all over the country in different places where they find cameras for me. I give them money and blah, blah, blah. I'm sourcing cameras. I'm trying to organize everyone's film. So then Monday, I have the pop-up.
Yeah.
And Monday, so that's where everyone drops off film with me. And I go, I have drop boxes set up. Oh, man. See, it's hard for me to see what I need to cover and what I don't cover. So I try to make it as easy as possible for people to drop off film with me. If you want, you can drop off in person at the pop-up on Monday. Mm-hmm. Or you can drop off at any time between the open business hours at one of two shops. There's Sea Hive in Oceanside, and there's Steel Mill Coffee in Oceanside. Steel Mill Coffee, they got great coffee, ran by great people. And you walk in, and there's a little box. You scan the QR code, and it pulls up my website, and you just pay and drop off your film. And then every Monday. That's such
a good idea. Isn't it?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to set one up in LA, and the thing for 2021 is I want to set these boxes up more, you know, but I can only manage, like, it's just me, and I'm already developing for probably around.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. So I'm in charge of probably, I want to say like 150 to 250 people's film a month, which is like,
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I'm just trying to, so I'll spend like a day, you know, uploading everyone's film and just making sure it gets to the right places. So far, everything has worked out really well. I've managed to streamline everything really well. And it's been a learning process. I've been developing film for everyone through the lab for 3 years now. And it's really cool because we're able to write, I charge $10 for a development scan. And that's done through very high quality stuff. It's everything's done through Noritsu's, and you know, we have Noritsu HS1800 for the scanner.
That's great.
Fuji Frontier. Yeah, we have. Oh, and the thing. Okay, I'm going back to. You can drop off a pop up at the drop boxes, or you can mail it to me. And the information for mailing it is on my website, film47.co. That's the website.
Which you just relaunched, right?
I did just relaunch it. Yeah. So I'm actually. This is another part of my big 2021 goals and changes, but I really, really want to get back into photography. I miss it so much.
Yeah.
Photography really helps with like my anxiety. You know, I don't really have
same here.
It's the best thing when you can, you know, if I'm in a crowd of people and everyone's talking and I don't have anything to say, I just look busy, shutter speed, you know, aperture, you know, go take a photo of a dog, and I can go escape from any like situation that I may or may not feel too hyped about. I mean, also there's, I can't say enough good. There's a million things I love about film photography. I love the mechanics of it. All my cameras are mechanical.
All of them?
All the ones that I keep. So my primary ones.
Like your
mains.
That'd
be the, the FM2, the M3, and the RB, and the Holga. That Holga is so good.
I know. I love my Holga too.
I have a knockoff Holga, and it's like incredibly sharp for some reason. I also have, so I really like the cameras that like, where you have to set the settings manually.
Yeah.
Because that it makes it, have you ever ridden like a fixie bicycle?
Yes. Yeah.
You know how like, like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's work. So it's
like, yeah, it's work, but you feel more connected to the bike because it's like, I just really like mechanical things, you know? Things that if my camera needs a battery, I don't like it because I'm the worst with that. My batteries die on set all the time. The only camera I really, really love that is primarily battery is the T4 and the F5. I have the F5 to counter the FM2 if I needed, you know, because the F5 is like the FM2, same lens line, except F5 has a whole slew of every feature. FM2, drop it in a puddle, it'll still probably work. Drop it off a few stairs, it's probably still going to work. Oh, I have a Rolleiflex 2.8F. that's been my number one in the past.
That's still one on the bucket list for me. I've always wanted a Rolleiflex, especially now shooting the Mamiya, their twin lens deals a lot lately.
Oh, yeah.
Those are, you were just telling me you had the C22?
Yeah.
C220?
And the 220 and the 330 now. And
oh, really?
Just the C.
What made you pick those?
Well, right when lockdown happened, I was really getting into the twin lens deal again, and I had... I've had a Yashica 124G probably 5 times. Like, I'll get it. I'll love it. And then I'll be like, oh, it's just like a good...
It's a good throwaway camera.
Yeah, the prices are really good on it that you can play exactly. with it for a little bit and then, you know, trade up or trade, you know. So I did that so many times. And then I just had a broken little Argo Flex or something. I forget what it was called. Just like a real junky little twin lens. Yeah. And I was like, I really, really want like a Mamiya, you know, the Mamiya mm-hmm. version. Because you can get that close focus. The glass is gorgeous. I mean...
The glass is incredible on the
scene. Dude, it's incredible. Like, I'm so blown good. Away by the... I have an 80, a 65, and a 135. And they're Ooh. All just like... to die for.
That 65 is killer,
dude. It's so wide, like for shooting square like that. Oh man.
But, I had the C33 with a 180 on it. And
my stepdad has the 180. That's such a good lens too.
It's great. Yeah, it's a really good lens. I really like, well, I was gonna ask, yeah, what made you choose the C330 and the C220? Was there anything specific about those ones, like mechanically speaking, versus the 22 and the C2?
The 220 came first. It was the C220 was just a really good deal on eBay. I was just kind of hawking them on eBay, watching until, and I had to go over my price range of what I only wanted to spend $200, you know, like that was my limit. And I was looking specifically for, because there's, everyone always says the blue dot lens.
Yeah.
Like, are the better of the set. So I found the C220 in like perfect condition with a blue dot 80 millimeter for $200.
Wow.
Wow. When was that?
3 or 4 months ago. Not that long ago.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah, it was score. And absolutely love that camera. I take it... That's like my medium format guy that I take with me everywhere. Because, you know, I'm an RB67 guy. I love the RB67. Yeah. Definitely my all-time favorite medium format camera. That camera will never leave my side again. I've made the mistake of selling that camera twice and will never do it again. Yeah. And I got the original one back. Like, the one I have is my original RB. So I don't care. The whole world could be crumbled. I could be starving and I will not let go of that camera.
That's why I never sell anything, because I'm afraid of that fear of like, what did I do?
there's always a little bit of regret, but I just feel like the win, as long as it's not like for money, like if you do it for another piece of gear, it's at least you're getting something out of it. You know what I mean?
To fund another purchase.
I've definitely had to sell cameras to pay for like bills and not had to been able to like reinvest it. But
been there too.
I sold my original RB67 to my friend Blake Johnston, and then he moved to Yosemite with it, and then got hired at the Ansel Adams Gallery because he was walking around with the RB that I sold him.
Oh,
and
that's like, so good.
Wow.
Yes. So then he lived there for the past, I think, year or something like that. And he worked at the Ansel Adams Gallery, got into 4x5. He just got featured on Kodak's page because of his LCAP photo.
Wow.
He's killing it. Blake Johnston on Instagram. He has beautiful 4x5 scenery photos. He's a good photographer. Really sweet, kind guy too.
I wanted to ask, with you doing like the film lab and the camera selling and stuff like that, where does most of your like earnings come from? Are you more so on like kind of swapping gear, or do you do better with the lab? I mean, I know you're not in it to be like a millionaire, you know, you just kind of want to be able to do this, you know, which is kind of my dream too. I'm that kind of guy that loves to just like flip gear all the time.
I want this to sound as like a little corny, as least corny as possible, but
it's okay, we can get corny here. It's all right,
man. I really do it for the film community. I asked my friend, because you know, before Corona I was gonna open up a camera store. Rob, Safe Flight Labs. Awesome.
Yeah, Rob, yeah. Friend of the show. Love Rob.
Love Rob. I met Rob probably four or five months at Beer and Cameras meetup, like 4 or 5 months before he opened up Safe Flight. And I had the same idea, which was to open up a dark room studio and do it yourself development center. But I didn't want to do anything like hastily, and I didn't want to do anything like shakily. So I didn't. But so I'm kind of reformulating what I'm going to go with big time now.
Yeah.
But overall, I'm not making money with this. So I was going to open up a store, and I asked my friend who owns a camera store, and I said, not Rob, this is someone else. I asked him, what would you recommend, or what would you say to someone? Well, I said, what would you tell someone trying to open up a camera store? He says, don't.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because the margins are incredibly terrible.
Yeah.
I make very little money off of everything. Like I said, I'm offering the cheapest film development. So I don't want to raise the prices on that because then it wouldn't be the cheapest. I make money from good finds, you know?
Yeah.
Recently, my most recent acquisition that's been helping me out was I got like 60 student cameras from our friend Alan Escalante.
Yes.
Also an employee of Negative Supply, a mutual friend of me and Chris.
Which is funny because you were saying like, sometimes I just get lucky. It just happens. And then I was like, man, that's crazy. And then Alan was like, oh, I have all these cameras from my professor. Like, I forgot I had in my car. And I was like, is this magic happening that I'm witnessing? It was just like.
He's like, hey, I got some cameras in my car. Maybe and you he can pulls tell me out what they're worth.
Like three boxes.
Dude, no, there was like.
I saw the pictures. Yeah. I saw the picture. Yeah, insane.
Yeah, so, I mean, I find that I've been thrifting like heavy for so, so long. And I can say very thoroughly that number one, everyone, okay, please stop buying broken cameras from thrift stores because now when you go into a thrift store, they'll have like a broken camera, like obviously broken. They'll be like, yeah, $100. And you're like, that's not working.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's $100 on eBay. And you're like, whatever. But before everything you could find, you know, all the cameras, people are like, oh, you want that? $2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like one time I was at the Oceanside Swap Meet. This is before the Oceanside Swap Meet closed down. I found a T4 for $1. So that paid for my groceries that month. I found an Olympus XA for $1 one time.
See, I would want to keep them all. I would never be able to just like sell.
Well, here I had to stop myself. So now I have one camera for every category.
Yeah, that's smart.
Smart. Yeah.
Besides, so the only time I double up on a camera, FM2, F5, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have the M3 and the Nikon S. That's because they're both gifts and I don't want to give away something that was like gifted to me. I have my RB67 and the Pentax 67. The RB was a gift too. I have my Rolleiflex, which is my TLR. Yeah, and then my Graflex, which is my 4x5, which is a gift too. And then, oh, actually, I bought my T4 for $200 recently.
Yeah, 200's pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like that was a gift too.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
But also in the rangefinder, I love my Olympus XA. I have one, and it's such a small camera. You can operate the entire camera.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
and with one hand. It has manual ISO control, or wait, does manual ISO control up to 800. It has manual aperture. It's aperture priority. It's every. It has backlight correction too. It's everything you could possibly want in a camera.
That's insane. Yeah.
And a self timer. Because of pictures with the homies. But yeah, no, so I had to stop myself because I had like 8 different like SLRs. I was like, oh, like I need the X700 and the K1000 and the AE1 and the A1. But
I get like sometimes it feels like, you know, now that I got my Leica M4, I'm like looking at my collection and being like, okay, will I touch these other cameras again? You know,
probably. Every time I've seen you since you got that, you've had that within a foot of you.
Yeah, good. I really, really love it. But then I look and I was like, okay, I have like my favorites, you know. And I feel like I was talking to Chris and Joan. We just hung out. Joan's in town right now. But I was saying like, really, it's not just like, okay, yes, I'm a photographer. Okay, yes, I like film cameras. But it's like a collection. So like, I don't need the Contax T2.
But you kind of do.
Like, it'll look nice in my collection.
No. Here's what you do. Your camera is a tool. They all do different things.
Yes.
You need your toolbox to be fully stock free.
Yes.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Yeah, I know.
Get it. That Contax T2, I think there's one on eBay going for a good price right now or something. I don't know. I'd look into it.
Yeah. I got a guy. I got a hookup. But so, you know, that's how I look at it. Like, I have my Olympus Stylus Epic. I have a champagne and I have a black one. And I have a T4 champagne. And I have a T5 in black. And I have like a Canonet in silver and I have a Canonet in black. It's like not just
the thing is you it makes sense to have those, number one, because you're not going to find those are only going up in price. Every single camera is going up in price. This is one thing I really did want to touch on. If anyone listening wants a specific camera, okay, number one, you don't need that camera because it's like your favorite whoever is shooting that camera,
right?
You know?
Right.
Get a similar focal length and make it work, you know?
Yeah.
People want a special camera, get it now.
I mean, there's definitely like cameras that are more sentimental. The T4 is like when I moved to LA, that's all I had basically. And that's like what I took with me everywhere as I was like exploring my new home. That one means something to me. So
never sell a sentimental.
Yeah. Getting that one fixed or like buying one again. It's like, it's not just because, you know, whoever is cool is shooting it. It's like, I really, really love that camera.
That makes sense.
I used to go through the phase of like, every time I would go thrifting or to an antique place, I would have to save every camera, like all the time, to the point where I had, you know, I'd have friends over and they'd just be like, how many cameras do you have?
Yeah.
Like, you are insane. And I'm like, yeah, but I sell them and stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't. I usually just hang on to them and never let them go. But I mean, I really started to purge the collection. Again, there's like the collector aspect of it. Like, there's a bunch of cameras that, again, you know, I have a black Canon FTB. I have a silver Canon FTB because they're like what got me back into it. You know what I mean? Like, what got me back into film photography? And it's like, and again, when I put stuff up for sale, it's not people going, wow, that's way too expensive. People are like literally messaging me and they're being like, why are you selling that for $85? Like, you know, they're going for like $300 on. And I'm like, because I want somebody to use it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point.
And when it's so much nicer, it's so much nicer to see a camera go to a good home. I sold a Minolta SRT 101 with a 45 F2 working meter, everything. I sold it for a really good price to my friend today because it's for his girlfriend. And I'm like, dude, like, no question about it. He's like, are you sure? Like, this price is cool. I was like, dude, no problem. Like, I make like $5-$10, you know, and then like your girlfriend gets a camera she's going to use for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's priceless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. It really is.
So I wanted to ask you, Patrick, do you plan on, I think I might know the answer already, but doing any like YouTube with like your daily grind? Because I think it would be such a cool, like.
Yeah, that would be fun. I would follow that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to start, but.
Because the last time I talked to you, you were like, no. So that's exciting.
I don't want to see myself in a video. I'm not, I don't know. Like, I'm even nervous talking on this. I'm sure I'll get used to it. But I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, and I don't think anyone needs to see another Canon AE-1 review video. You know? But I also have like 5 of these cameras that only fire when you yell at it, Yeah, so I don't think anyone's seen though like something like that. So
it'd be cool yeah, to I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be cool to do reviews on cameras like that, or like why I do certain things. And I'm going to be going over. I have a bunch of things coming this year. I'm actually going to start showing my work for the first time. I'm working after our conversation about a month ago. I'm working on my first zine in 5 years.
Yes.
I have another story about that. I'm going to start selling prints, and then I'm going to start a YouTube, and then YouTube. I want to go over roles of film that I've shot before, and kind of like
great.
It's kind of like troubleshooting. You know, like, hey, do your photos have that weird? Like, do the dark parts look all like muddy and grainy?
Huh, yeah,
probably
yeah.
a little underexposed. You know, just turn your lens one stop open next time. If you're shooting color negative film, try metering one stop under box speed for every color negative film and tell me that you don't love it.
Yeah, I think people really enjoy what you can give to the community via YouTube. So I'm a cheerleader for that. I'm excited.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You asked earlier, so what the day to day is. So the weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm doing everything. I'm doing crazy stuff. I have a girlfriend. Her name is Mia. She's really lovely and sweet. And we go camping a lot and go hiking. We go outdoors. And we, when Corona's like mid, it was like August of last year, we wanted to be like away from everyone, but we still wanted to go see things. But like, it was a really, we're trying to be responsible. We're trying to be as responsible as, you know, as
right.
and smart, because number one, we want to be good for our families, you know, because we both have like parents that could, I don't know. We don't have all the information, so we're playing it safe. But we did drive across the country.
Oh, wow.
We went from here up to up north. So we went all through like Big Sur and all that. And then we hit Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana. I saw that Old Faithful.
Oh, nuke.
Yeah, so it was cool. I got to see Old Faithful, and I had my my Rolleiflex loaded with Portra 400, and it was sunset, and I got front row. And I was like, perfect.
You know,
like,
man, that so I need to do that. I need to drive up the coast and come back down again.
It was really, really cool to be, I mean, so yeah, I love road trips, and we love road trips. So we go a lot, and she's totally cool with me thrifting all the whole way. And like in Idaho, Idaho, I found like, I don't even want to say it. I found like 20 cameras for like $2 a camera.
Wow.
So, you know, that pays for like my groceries for a little bit. Or, like, that buys me like wheels for my car.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know. So going back to what I do on a daily basis, I'm going every day. I'm trying to thrift as much as I can. So my girlfriend and I, sometimes we go camping on the weekends. Monday comes around. Monday I go and I check my P.O. box, make sure I get everyone's film. I get all the film from Steel Mill at the drop-off box there, and C-Hive, all the film from there. And then I prep the film, and then I have a pop-up at 5 o'clock at, like, you know. And then so after the pop-up ends around, like, 6:37. I go back home. I drop off everyone's negatives that I have with me at the pop-up. I load up my car with my little bedroll, and then I drive up to a lab. So the lab is about 3 hours north from me. It's, like, 2.5 hours. So I drive through LA.
Okay.
Yeah. I drive through LA, but I drive and I leave at like 9 or 10 at night. That way I skip all the traffic. And then I just
smart.
Yeah. Car camp outside the lab. And then I wake up, you know, eat some fruit. And then I go work at the lab for a few hours, develop everyone's film or help the lab with whatever they need. And then, so I'm developing for so many people. People always ask, like, do you develop and scale my film? I'm like, oh, man, I wish I had the time for that. You know, luckily, we have a very, very excellent, skilled handful of people that work at the lab.
Yeah.
Me and them treat your film like it's our film. Our fail rate is like 0.00. It's crazy. It's like one in every like 5,000-6,000 roll, you know, and that's like a mechanical error or something. But so I'll stay at the lab and I'll develop, I'll be there, I'll work in, and I go home and I'll take all the film with me. So I drive back down. But it's really cool because I chose this job I accidentally made up a job for myself.
I love it.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's fun because.
Yeah, it really is a really cool thing what you do.
Before I used to work in restaurants, and like I was a pizza boy, you know, I was a pizza boy for a while. I could do the whole like throwing it over my head and spinning in the air thing. And then I worked at restaurants, and then by the end I was working at like this like 5-star restaurant that like I had to like put my hair up and like, oh, how do you do today, sir? I was pretty, they're pretty like lenient with how I talk, which works out because I talk like crazy, but it worked out because I could be like, hey man, you should totally check out this super rad bottle of wine. You'd love it. It was like a $200 bottle of wine. I was getting money,
mm-hmm.
and I was stressed out. I was so stressed out because I had to maintain this like this very like high. I don't know. It wasn't me.
Right.
It wasn't me.
Dude, I get that, man. I managed a restaurant forever. Yeah.
That sounds painful. I mess restaurant managers.
Awful. Awful.
Yeah. So I was making good money as a waiter, but the coolest thing was when you bring someone's food out to them, they're really happy. I was like, wow, this is cool. I like making people happy. So I was working at a restaurant. I was doing the waiter thing. And on the weekends, I would go thrift and find cameras. And then I would start selling. So I've been selling cameras more and more and more. So 2015, 16, I'm selling more. And then 2017, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put all my time into cameras and selling them. I think there's enough of a demand that I'm going to go full force with this. And then there wasn't, you know? So I was like, I was still like just barely doing it. Like selling cameras was like a side thing, but it was, you know? So I've been effectively selling cameras for about 6 years for sure. And then 2017, I moved up north and I kind of had some free time. So I would spend all day at the lab. And then kind of like, you know, when you're a kid and like you spend all day at the skate shop because you're like, oh, I love skating. And just sit there and watch skate videos. So I was sitting at the film lab. And I was like, oh, cool. Let me look at this data sheet for, you know? So, man, I love data sheets. Those things are fun. Reciprocity times. Yeah. What happened was I kept selling the cameras to people and then I would talk to them and I would help them get their first roll of film back. And if you think that bringing people food makes them happy, giving someone the gift of film is the best feeling. And I've lost track of how many people have gone to shooting film now, but still people come to me and like, oh, I found out also, like I try to like, I'll often give people, if it's their first role, I'll usually develop and scan it for free.
That's great.
They're like,
great.
Thank you. Well, and I tell them not. That's I feel like it's kind of mean, you know. It's like,
oh yeah, because you're like, it's
it is. It is.
It's like,
yeah.
Here's
it's like,
your first
here's
one free.
Your gateway drug, right?
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, I like this. And they're like, wait, why is the role of portrait what that much?
Yeah, that's funny.
Shout out Kodak increases.
Yeah.
I don't wanna.
But we're all, I don't know, everyone's complaining about the Kodak increases, but no one's mentioning the Fuji increases from last year that were 13% that slipped by everyone. But no one complained about that. But now Kodak does an 11% across the board, and everyone's like, ooh, like, hey, they're just matching Fuji.
I'm just happy it's still here.
Yeah.
You know, I obviously don't want to pay more, but I will because I have to.
Yeah, same.
And in the least selfish way, I think that part of the reason that I do all of this is because my personal love for film. I want to keep shooting film myself. So
yeah, I totally get that.
If everyone else shoots film, they're going to have to keep making film.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm thinking myself like, okay, what? I'll just get as many people as I can to start shooting film. And that way I don't have nothing to worry about.
Well, Patrick, I think it's really inspiring what you do and what you're doing for the community. Not only are you like helps, you know, sustaining it, but you're also like you said, you're getting people who wouldn't normally shoot film into film photography. And I think that's so freaking cool.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's so also this year I am going to start doing intro to photo lessons and just a bunch of photo lessons. So like I'll also, this is going to be where it, hopefully it hits. But I'm going to do Zoom sessions, you know? Or
that's so cool.
I've been doing this for long enough that I can see a sliver of a camera from a mile away, you know, and I can tell you what camera it is, why it does what it does, where everything on it is. So I think it'd be nice to be able to, you know, if someone wants to pay me, I don't know what the prices are going to be, but if you want to sit down for half an hour and have a Zoom chat, I have forms or like kind of like booklets already. So if someone wants to talk to me about creative photography or medium format or large format or like the basics of film or why, you know, like anything, like I'll be able to help people go over
That's
everything because
such a great idea.
I think it'd be cool to be able to, like, if someone gets a camera, I'll be like, yeah, here, let me show you how I use it. But the thing is, I'm selling 50 cameras and I sit down with everyone for like half an hour, then that's like a day's worth of work I don't get paid for, you know? So I have to, as much as I'd like to sit down with everyone and tell everyone about their camera, I have to charge for like a little lesson or something somewhere down the line.
No shame in that.
No, that's cool. I think that I've been actively shooting for about 8 years. I've shot hundreds of cameras. I've shot film stocks from 1956, and I've worked with wet plates. I've shot large format, ultra large, you know, that's 8x10. I don't know. I've gone through it, and I like to think that I'm proficient enough to help someone else. And if I don't know anything, I'm going to learn along with
them. That's awesome.
Coming back around, what I do is not profitable. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do this year is put some stuff out that way, because there's a lot of really, we have the coolest community, you know? And I think I'm going to start selling some of my photos and prints. And I always wanted to do like the not show my work, because I take all my photos for me, you know?
Same here.
I'm not trying to do the whole Vivian Meyer thing where you like die with like 800 unveiled goals. Like, I want to see my photos.
Yeah.
But they're special to me. I got a rollback, man, 3 days ago, and my eyes started watering like while I was looking at it, because it was just my Christmas roll for my family. And it was my first time getting a picture with just certain members of my family all together. And seeing those pictures, just like, man. And seeing my little brother with his braces, you know, he's 14 years old. And I'm like, wow, he won't know until like later, like how cool this picture is. And there's so much special stuff about photos.
That's like Timothy. You like went through a phase where you weren't sharing anything, right?
I'm still pretty much that way. I mean, I think I only shared like, I don't know, like 20 photos or something last year. Which is, I feel like, a lot more than the year before, but I don't know. I do it for me.
Yeah.
I do it for, and it's funny because of that, you know, I'm not always looking at my photos, you know, I'll go through phases where I'll start scrolling through my Lightroom catalog on my phone, because now everything's all connected, and I'm just like, wow, I can't believe I didn't share any of this.
Yeah.
Like,
dude,
I have so many photos that, I mean, I don't want to say that would do great on Instagram, but you know,
well,
it's just wild. All the time. Like, all the time. I'm always printing.
It's nice to have that for yourself, too. Yeah. I try to do that, too.
I have folders over by my inkjet printer that kind of portfolios, where I do 11x14s, 13x19s, 8x10s. Mostly do 5x7s and 4x6s. And I think I have like 15 or 16 photo albums.
Yeah.
And they're all just like nice leather-bound albums from Target that I used to pick up a couple every time when I'd go. And I just love having those, because I don't have to get my phone out or my computer open to go look at my photos. I just kind of grab a couple binders and, you know, sit outside on the porch and drink my coffee and flip through my photos and just be like, damn, these are so cool. Like, I'm so glad I have these.
It's really nice. You know, when you're pestering your family or something, you're like, hey, come on, guys, let's all take a photo. And it's always the, you hate me now, but give it 5 years and you'll be so happy with this picture.
Exactly.
We'll be right back with some listener questions for Patrick right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
Hey guys, just wanted to hop in here quick and tell you about our Develop With Us Patreon Sunday. Now, it's going to be the third Sunday of the month. Chris and I, a group of you Patreons, are going to be hanging out developing some film together. It's a really good time. We've done two already, and we look forward to the future of this whole little project we're doing. It's just a lot of fun hanging out with you guys. Also, we have a Patreon-only Discord, so make sure you guys check that out. Enjoy the rest of the episode. We'll see you at the end.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from RollyCord82. And he wanted to know, if you could have one film back from the dead, which one would it be?
Fuji Sensia 200. There's no question about that.
I don't even know what that is, I don't think.
So
it's a positive film.
It's a positive film. But if I remember correctly, it's just warm. It's like a warm, positive film. 200 speed, nice and clear and crisp. you know, Terrible Latitude, my favorite. It was it wasn't actually that bad of latitude, but I managed to get my hand on like maybe one or two rolls that came out good, but I haven't found anything since then. But really good color palette, very special color palette.
Do you know when it was discontinued?
No, I think it must have been like mid-2000s probably.
Wow.
Man, I'll tell you, if you like a warmer tone, positive Rolly. Film. No, I was going to say film photography projects, FPP's Retrochrome 400. Oh. I think it was out of stock for a little bit. And now I think I was talking to Mike on Instagram and he said that he thinks there's enough supply for like this year. I know they're bringing it back. It might be back by the time this comes out, but I don't think it's going to last very long. So my next film purchase is going to be a bucket load of that. Oh, I was going to say a buttload, but I didn't want to throw a butt in there. We'll do a bucket full of it. But it's just like a really warm, weird,
I have one roll
old
of that. Yeah.
Military ektachrome. And
you should have you heard of the Rolly Crossbird film?
I've heard of Rolly Chrome.
I've heard of the Vario.
Yeah,
the
Rolly Chrome.
Bing, bing, bing. They don't sell the Vario Chrome anymore, though. They rebranded it as Crossbird 200. So
okay.
So it's rebranded as Crossbird 200. But if you shoot it at 100 and develop it in E6 chemicals, it's side film, not C41.
Sweet.
But you can, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But it looks super warm.
That's my plan for this year, is to shoot a lot of positive film. I've been stockpiling, and I developed a couple rolls of the Retrochrome and haven't shared any of it yet again. But
how is it?
I'm just obsessed. It is like. It's my vibe, and it's a high, you know how most positive films are
150,
you know, 50, 100, 200 at most.
Maybe.
And this is a 400.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, it looks really nice though, huh?
Oh dude, it's legit. I'm gonna share some in the next couple weeks. I have another
six rolls.
I'm saying if you're into that kind of stuff, you should definitely go to their store and pick some up, because I know it's not gonna last forever.
Good call. So. Good question.
Yeah, great question.
I liked it. I'm happy they brought Akros back. Akros, whatever.
I haven't shot the two yet.
Yeah,
I'm still getting through the stockpile of the one that I have left.
I shot a roll of it just to kind of like, you know, test the waters out. And then I hit one photo of just, oh, I've been working on, I do know what I do like to shoot photos of, because I feel very general in, you know, like I take, people ask, I say, I take pictures of people, places, and things. And people will say, oh, cool. Wait, what? That's everything. I'm like, yeah, I take photos of everything. But I realized that the photos I love the most are the ones of people doing what they love. So I think I'm going to focus on environmental portraiture.
Oh, cool. I haven't done that since, that was an assignment in photo school, was like an environmental portrait.
Yeah, I really like it. Because so there's this local dude. He's a blacksmith and he makes knives. So
wow.
So I hit him up, or we met one time at a thing, and I was like, hey, your stuff's really cool, man. Like, can I come take some photos? He's like, you want to take photos of me working? I was like, yeah, is that all right? He's like, for sure, come through. And so he's like pounding on it. There's sparks flying out of the anvil. And like, so Akros hit it really, really nice. And so I just, oh, he also let me make a knife with him. So I did the whole, like, I blacksmith the knife.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, shooting pictures of people doing what they love, it like you can actually see something, you know. I don't like fake stuff. Fake stuff's cool, whatever. BRC, I'm all for that. I like art, but I also like real stuff.
Love it.
It's all real, you know. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, we know what to
mean. It is. Well, we got the dreaded two-part question, which I'm sure you've been thinking about this. Part one of the two-part is the desert island camera, the one camera that you will take with you to the island and shoot for the rest of your life.
So I have a couple questions about this I've always wanted to ask.
Yeah.
How many lenses can I take with it?
That's a good question.
I mean, if you're, it's what's your desert island camera? So you can take all the lenses.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you've got the kit.
The kit.
Regardless of if I did or if I didn't, I would choose the RB67. It's reliable. The biggest thing for me in a camera is reliability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Reliable. It does everything, you know? It does everything. And it's so I love the modularity of it as well. Mm-hmm. because if you did want to shoot with a prism or a waist level, I'm a fan of the waist level, but the prism's not bad. If you want to shoot with a left-hand grip, if you want to put a right-hand grip, and I don't know, do whatever, but left-hand grip, it has a pistol grip. There's so many options you can do with it. It feels so universal. If I could choose, you know, a 35 and a 120, it'd be the FM2N. And the RB67. I love my FM2N so very much.
Yeah, it's such a great camera.
It is. If I don't know, people, I wish people knew more about like the Untold cameras. There's so many beautiful cameras that are just really, really like capable, you know, like the, like all the Canon Rebels are such sick cameras, but no one buys them.
Yeah.
But if everyone knew that the Canon Rebel has a built-in multiple exposure feature, I think that they'd sell a lot more.
But there's something about the Rebels. I will agree. They're great.
Yeah, I had two of them at one point. And those were... They were great to give to people that were just like coworkers, girlfriends that were interested in shooting film. And I was like, this is like almost a digital camera kind of,
it's,
you know, like it's
easy, but like, which is cool too, because, and that's what I tell people is like, I'm like, look at this camera. Like it has full auto. It has semi-auto. Oh, nice mug. It has full auto, semi-auto, and like full manual. Damn, Tri-X. Tim's got a Tri-X mug. I'm like, oh man, I'm thirstier. Although I must say HP5 would be my cup of tea.
I see. I'm just, I bleed yellow, man. I don't know what it is.
Same.
Kodak's number one fan, but I'm back and forth on the black and white.
My my fridge, like reorganization of my film fridge. And I was like, here's all my Lumography. Here's all my Kodak. Here's my three rolls.
Like,
no shade. Just bleed yellow, like Timothy said.
Nine times out of 10, you'll find me with a roll of Pro Image, which, you know, as you know.
Yeah, that was the roll that you suggested to me when we first met.
It was really cool because I was over at the film store. I was buying film. And I heard, you were right behind me and to the right, and I heard you ask the person something like, oh, do you have any portrait in stock? And I was like, Chris, I know who's asking for portrait in that voice. And I just stood there for a second, so nervous, and I turned around and I go, are you Chris? And you're like, yeah, but you're like, oh, I'm like, oh, cool. I listened, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, you should try that Pro Image. That sounds really cool. And they just got into stock.
And I did.
It is really good.
And I just actually, I got my Yashica fixed. That was the first roll I put in there. So I was like, I thought about you. I was like, Patrick, I'm shooting this, the Pro Image.
Did you develop it yet?
I did. I'll send you some. It came out great. How do you feel about it? It's good.
Oh,
it's real good.
Good skin tones.
Dude. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like a good mix between, I know this sounds weird, but I feel like it's got like Ektar blues. Like, I feel like it's got that cyan-y look to it that Ektar
has. What I tell people is if Portra 160 and Ektar 100, like, had a kid and that miracle film baby came out.
That's what you told me.
Portra.
Yeah. I remember.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because it has the good skin tones of Portra. It has the juicy popping colors of like Ektar. It's fun. And then it's, could be incorrect, but I think it's made in, or it's like a South American based film, so it's actually, you know how all your film is like really susceptible to heat? Pro Image 100 is slightly less susceptible.
Oh, good to know.
Ooh. Yeah, but it doesn't really make a difference because you shouldn't risk it, you know?
Yeah,
keep your
definitely
film cool, guys.
Put in the fridge.
Second parter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Part two. The this is the one that, you know, it's either hit or miss. That when we get the, I think there's like 0.1% of our guests that are like, I feel pretty good. I think I'm all right. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's the white whale camera. Is there anything that you've always wanted to get your, I mean, you're a camera dude.
So here's the thing. I feel like when you're right. Like I have, like I wake up in the morning, I guess I really don't want to sound like, oh, I have an M3 and I have a Pentax 67, because it's not that. Like I've been working really hard for,
dude, I get that. Yeah.
10 years and I've worked to get all this stuff, and I've gone the last 3 years doing all this stuff. Like I live on the smallest budget because of just how all this film stuff works. But I don't mind, dude. I love eating fruit for breakfast, you know? Like, I'm not tripping. What's more valuable to me than seeing someone smile when they get their first roll of film back? Like, that's the coolest thing.
Dude, amen.
Yeah, I can't beat it.
No, but that also doesn't afford me to buy my white whale camera. So.
But what is it?
This year of self, Yeah, it's the Wide Lux.
Oh, the Wide Lux. Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Jeff B.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, he's got some great work with that. I really liked all his stuff from it. I like what he does. I really enjoy motion photos. If you like, you know, Jason Lee's book, that big one, I forget what it's called, but that one.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
There's a lot of like still motion. You know what I mean? And I really love that. And I love that Jeff Bridges could do that with the Wide Lux. And I wouldn't want any other cameras right now because, like I said, I have my rangefinder spot filled, my TLR spot filled, my SLR filled. I don't have a camera that moves its lens, lens. So that's where I can justify it. Besides that, I think also I would... Did you guys see that SLR? Sorry, it's like the SX-70... It's a SX-670... or something like that, mint?
Yes,
Brooklyn film camera dropped it. So it's like a fully manual SX-70 that takes 600 film with the sonar focusing and flash and manual shutter speeds and all that.
Wait.
Oh, you have one, don't you? You got one. Oh, man. I thought that was the coolest.
You mean this guy right here?
No, you got it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
And it's black.
Yeah, it is.
And it's in like really good condition. I mean,
can see that. Yeah, it's clean.
That's like your main Polaroid camera, right? Now?
I have this guy. I have four SX-70s.
Well, no, I mean, like, what, you shoot it more than the others. Am I wrong?
No, I shoot the OG. Oh,
okay.
The Alpha 1 that I Frankensteined out of a couple different SX-70s.
Yeah, well, you guys know mine's broken.
I got one of those, too. I love the OG. Yeah. The OG. This one was a gift, too.
This thing's amazing, but it's there's just nothing like... This is like a I'll bring to like the film Padilla next time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like to flex.
Yeah.
Other than
I almost tried to sneak into the film Padilla. I don't know if we put this in the podcast, but I was very close to trying to sneak in because
you weren't
the only one.
You weren't the only one who was trying to sneak in, I don't think.
Well, the thing is, I was like, I know half the people in there.
I know. That's what we were just talking about when Phil does it again, when they do it again, like they're gonna have to do two weekends. They're not gonna be ready for everybody who's gonna be so pent up and ready to like hang out and shoot and be around each other. That's gonna have to be a month long Paideia, I feel like.
That's gonna be so cool.
They're not ready.
I wish that we could do the camera meetups like we used to do.
I know.
Or just
soon,
like everyone.
I think we'll get back on it, you know?
Yeah.
There's light at the end of the tunnel, I feel like, with this stuff, hopefully.
This has been really cool, and I'm sad to see it end, but...
Well, you were a great guest, Patrick, and like I said,
thanks
before,
so much.
What you're doing for the community is really awesome, and I can't wait to see what else you do. Can't wait for that YouTube channel. I'm going to be subscribing.
I'm very excited for it. If I can leave everyone with a... Word of advice is use what you have, you know?
I love that.
Spend your money on film instead of a new lens. Take pictures of the people you love. It's my friend's dog pass away.
Oh.
But I took a picture of him 2 days before he did pass away.
Oh.
And that's like stuff like that. It goes a long way, you know?
Yeah.
It really does. Yeah.
It's great advice.
Just give your friend a film camera. That's what you should do. I hope that everyone can give their friend a film camera. And, you know,
I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone should do their part. You know, spread the love of film. It's the best feeling.
Definitely.
Yeah. So good. Where can everybody check you out? Where can they find you?
So on Instagram, I am filmdaddy47. That name was given, not chosen, for the record.
Yeah.
I'm making a business Instagram right now. It's film47.co. And then my website is film47.co because I couldn't afford the .com. So it's film47.co.
Awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Easiest way to find that, go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of stuff there. That's it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We have an Analog Talk podcast Twitter that's Analog Talk Pod. We have an Instagram that's Analog Talk Podcast. And we have a Facebook group where you can join and like and share photos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
A little rusty on that. I don't know what happened there.
Crispy photo.
Yeah. Patrick, thank you. We were so glad to have you. And again, you're doing all the amazing work, and we appreciate what you do. So
happy to be here, guys. Thank you.
Awesome, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
First off, Kristen, I would like to thank Patrick for coming on the show. Mr. Film Daddy, thanks so much for all you do with the community, hopping on here, telling us what you do, and showing your love for film photography. It's amazing. Keep up the great work. We love what you're doing. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For even a buck, like I said at the top of the show, you can get the show 2 days early. We're also doing Developing With Us. That's going to be the third Sunday of the month. We're doing, Chris and I are doing solo shows. That's pretty exciting. We're still going to be doing after show specials and Patreon only specials with, you know, new guests, old guests, all kinds of stuff we have planned. So yeah, if that sounds like something you would be interested in. If you would like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For all the Patreons that already help support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. We appreciate each and every single one of you. So it's great to be back, and we're ready for another full season, another awesome year, talking to photographers, your favorite photographers. Just, we love this stuff. We love this stuff, and it's great to be back. So until next week, guys, we'll see you soon. Later.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.